Second half of the show coming to you live from the Kintech studio. It's Bick Nizar here on The People's Show. If you haven't heard the news today, Thatcher Demko, questionable for the rest of the series, won't play tonight. So in comes Casey DeSmith to start game two against the Nashville Predators, just a couple hours away. 7 o'clock, you'll hear it on Sportsnet 650. You'll see it on TV. Sat and Dan with the pregame show coming up with Canuck Central at the top of the hour. So while we were scrambling to, you know, get information and news and all these things, I reached out to someone and I let him know. I was like, hey, DeSmith in tonight. We'd love to get the inside the mind of someone who's entered mid-series. And I got a reply back from Aldi saying, I hadn't even heard the news yet. I'm going to the game tonight. Thanks for ruining my day. So I started the day ruining Alex Auld's day. And he joins us now to talk about all things Vancouver Canucks goaltending and what this situation might be like for Casey DeSmith. Aldi, how are you?
Well, I was doing better until you texted me and broke the news to me this morning that at the game tonight that I was going to be attending my first playoff game in Vancouver in quite some time, and was looking forward to watching Thatcher Demko play and that he wouldn't be in net. But all good. I'm good, buddy. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you still coming on after I ruined your day, along with many other Canucks fans that are heartbroken so far today.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously no disrespect to Casey DeSmith, but I mean, Demko obviously is a world-class talent, and he's a lot of fun to watch anytime, but especially, you know, the way he has come back from injury and played, and especially in game one, it was pretty incredible. But now for him to be out is obviously tough for the Canucks, but it's cliche, and it's the prototypical hockey player, especially the prototypical backup goalie message, that it's someone else's opportunity and someone else's chance to get in there and hopefully do something good for this team.
Actually, before we get to DeSmith, I'd love to get your perspective as an athlete. You know, if you're Demko and the reports that we're hearing, you know, it might not be the same injury, but it might be the same locale. You know, when your body, I don't want to say betrays you, but when you work so hard to come back and you come back for one game and you pick up another injury, just how, like, defeating is that for an athlete?
I mean, unfortunately, I never had that happen to me in my career. But, yeah, I mean, I can only imagine it's got to be very difficult. You know, out for a considerable back, both physically and mentally, getting back to that level, having to get back into, you know, the highest level of form, really, right? You know, you jump back in, you only get a couple regular season games, and then you're in the playoffs and the atmosphere and everything. So it's got to be such a letdown emotionally, and you know, it's got to be so disappointing for Thatcher to be going through this. But at the same time, he's probably very much in the day-to-day of just trying to get better, and he's going to have his rehab routine. But man, what a tough thing to have to go through. I don't wish that upon on anyone, but it's difficult for sure.
So you were quick of mind when the news came out today that Thatcher Demko is questionable and questionable for the series, and Casey DeSmith would start tonight. So take us through of what you went through that time in 2004 and what, you know, I imagine Casey DeSmith is kind of going through. As much as we talk about cliches of, hey, you always prepare to be the starter and then the game starts and you're the backup, and there's truth to that, I do imagine it's a different run of emotions.
It is, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, there's an excitement and adrenaline that would go with that, much like when you get thrown into a game and there's sort of this rush of energy that comes over you from going to sitting on the bench and watching and sort of soaking in the atmosphere to all of a sudden be playing. It's a similar thing when you find out, you know, you go into a series and you've got one of the best goalies in the world playing ahead of you, and you think, like, your job is really to be supportive, right? And your job is to be kind of a rah-rah guy, do everything, stay on after practice, all those things, make sure the guys are getting all the reps they need, and to make sure you're there to support your starting goalie, support your teammates, and help out. To all of a sudden now you're the guy and you're in the limelight. And it's a different mindset. But it is, I will say that, you know, the Canucks are benefiting or will benefit from the fact that they've got one of, if not the best goaltending coach in the world. And he understands the preparation needed for everyone through the depth chart as you're going into this sort of situation to make sure they're ready in case there is sort of that ascension due to injury and guys get moved up. And, you know, as much as Clarkie would have been really focusing on Demko and making sure he was ready, it's not like he's just neglecting DeSmith all of a sudden and making sure, you know, he's got to make sure he's ready to go as well, because at a moment's notice, it could switch and someone else is now thrust into the limelight. And similarly, in terms of, you know, the change in things for, you know, Seelovs as well. Like now all of a sudden he's one injury away or, you know, one bad outing away to being the guy. And that's sort of the situation I was in 2004. I was like, I was the black ace. I was the guy in the press box who all of a sudden within two games was then starting, you know, game 5, 6, and 7. So it's a quick mental shift. It's a mindset shift. But the fact that DeSmith has had this recent run of sort of being the guy and not, you know, rolling out most nights and working through that. And to me, that was one of the biggest changes I had to go through from being this sort of the dedicated backup to all of a sudden being the dedicated starter, was all of a sudden I had to find my comfort level in a completely different routine, where it used to be, you know, playing every week to 10 days. So I knew I could go all out in practice and I'd kind of, you know, be able to see where my games were going to be and then rein it in a little bit so I was rested. And then shifting to being the full-time starter, that was difficult. DeSmith at least has gone through this season with this group of players, understands routine. He's not looking for something new that way. And like I said, Ian Clarke is going to have him as ready as he can be. And, you know, physically, I would say DeSmith is up to the challenge. It's just going to be mentally how he can sort of block all the noise out and just play within himself and not try to do too much. And oftentimes goalies get in trouble if they chase the game. And if he can just be patient and poised, much like he was early on this season, especially when he first sort of started playing games with the Canucks, I think he'll be just fine.
Was anything said to you by a teammate or a coach, you know, beforehand, or was there an expectation like, hey, you're a pro, you're here for a reason?
Yeah, there's all those sorts of things. I mean, it's funny because Ian Clarke, you know, sort of prepared me the day before in a way. Like I could tell he wasn't allowed to tell me. Now that I look back on it, Clarkie as the goalie coach wasn't allowed to tell me I was going to be playing, but he knew that he had to have me prepared, right? Mm-hmm. So Mark Crawford wanted it to be this secret, and Clarkie kind of said something. It was just sort of like, hey, you never know. Like, you never know. It could be, you know, you always got to be ready. And the way he said it, now I look back, it was different than his normal sort of, you know, discussion on a day between games. And, but I do remember when Mark Crawford called me in after morning skate, the day of game five. And he specifically told me, he's like, you're playing tonight. And it's because I think you give us the best chance to win and, you know, just go out and play the way you've been playing. And so it is a bit of a shock. It's in the moment. You probably don't hear a lot of those things, but again, I'll just go back to, it's not like this is a goalie that the rest of the team isn't used to playing in front of. It's a guy that they've had some success with this year. They've won a lot of games, you know, one of the best seasons in franchise history. And unlike some years, like, the backup goalie has been a big part of it. Casey DeSmith has played a big role in that this season, whereas some years the backups, you know, play 10 games, or it's a different story this year. So I do think that the teammates will have his back and everyone will be supportive. And obviously everyone's hoping that it's a good result.
It's jarring because it's the goalie, right? We know how pivotal that position is, obviously. But, you know, when a skater comes back, you always just think, okay, when a long injury, just try to do something to get yourself into the flow of the game and start giving the confidence back. You know, the first touch of the puck, first pass, first hit, whatever it is. It's different for a goalie because the first play you touch the puck, it might go in. What did you feel like was important when you stepped in that moment in, you know, very extreme circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, having that first touch go well is an important thing. But at the same time, if it doesn't, how you can just mentally bounce back from that. And I mean, you could let in the first two shots and still win 3-2, right? Or you know, but it's important that you just, again, don't try to do too much. But you're right. The position is so unique in sports. The fact that the mistakes are what's highlighted, not necessarily the positive plays, it's makes it even, there's a higher degree of difficulty and just in terms of the spotlight being on the position. And I also think it's a unique situation where, you know, I was thinking as I was sort of thinking about you calling me to talk about this, I was like, hey, like, We have a perfect example of the Stanley Cup champion last year with the Vegas Golden Knights going through multiple goalies, and no one would have thought, oh yeah, at the end of it all, like, you know, they go through, you know, Logan Thompson being the all-star midseason, Laurent Brossoit playing unbelievable, him getting hurt, and Aiden Hill being the guy who actually wins the cup. Like, you look at that and you're like, well, that's not a recipe for success, yet it worked. And part of that is the style of play of the Knights, and obviously all those guys were ready as much as they could be to seize their moments. And so we've seen a recent example of that sort of thing working and a guy being able to step in and seize an opportunity. And there's no reason that can't happen here. Casey DeSmith, actually, you know, he has more career experience than a lot of those guys, or, you know, and he's a guy who's been through a lot of different situations, and none of them had this huge amount of playoff success either going into last season. So it's not like it's impossible and it's never been done before, but one of the big caveats to this is the added pressure. And back to your previous point, Beck, is like, you're also filling in for one of the guys who's truly one of the best in the world, right? So there's an added level of perceived pressure there and perceived expectation and what if. But as a goaltender and as an athlete, you can't let that get in your way of the way you're preparing. Casey DeSmith can't go in and be Thatcher Demko. That's not what he's going to be asked to do. He's going to go in and be the best version of himself. And in order to do that, he has to go in with a clear mind.
I'm sure you've got a watchful eye throughout the season on the team. Maybe not like it was the first 2 years of the station, but nevertheless, you've seen Casey DeSmith start this season a few games. What have you noticed when you've watched him play?
Well, I will say before I answer that, it's been a lot more enjoyable to watch, and it's not because I'm not working
right, okay,
on the radio station. It's because the team's good. I think about all of the interesting dead air I had to fill in those couple of years. Anyway,
that was just when Sat was talking. That's fine.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, I've liked his game. I've liked, like I kind of alluded to it earlier. I thought early on he was really sharp. I thought he adjusted well to playing most games. I thought that it's not an easy thing to do to come in and sort of be the backup and then get thrust into sort of this pseudo starter's role while your starter is injured. And I thought he did a really good job. He gave the team a chance to win most nights. And, you know, I like that he's worked hard to make some adjustments to sort of Ian Clarke's system and the way he wants him to play. And that'll really benefit him in the long run. And hopefully it'll benefit him here in the short term. And I do think that, you know, as much as he sort of gave the net over to Seelovs a little bit near the end of the season, and which probably bodes well for both of those guys going to the playoffs. Obviously, if Seelovs is required, he's going to have a little bit more experience, which is great for him. But I also think there's always that. Remember back in the Markstrom days, where it was always like, oh, he needs a Clarke reset.
Right.
DeSmith was kind of able to get that going into the playoffs, and he's been able to get it now in the last week or so. Right. So the last couple weeks of the regular season, Seelovs played a couple games. DeSmith got that really focused work with Ian Clarke. And now here in this last little bit, as they've been prepping for the playoffs and Demko being the starter, he's been able to get a little bit more of that backup work. And sometimes when you're a career backup, that's what makes you feel the most comfortable, is the work as the backup goalie with your goalie coach just brings you back to not thinking about the game as much, just going out, working hard, working on the repetition and the details that really suit your game and get you dialed in. And so, you know, I think that also sets up well for DeSmith in terms of carrying this, you know, strong regular season into his playoffs here.
It's part of their identity anyways, just team defense. They've been so good. They chalked off 75 goals from last year to this year. It's their identity. So it will play itself that way. And Rick Tocchet emphasized that point of just be ourselves and trusting Casey to be Casey. Well, you watched games 1 through 4, obviously, and then game 5. Did you feel like the team played differently? Because I'm just looking it up. It was 20 shots on goal in that game faced you versus 32 the night before and a 40 night in game 2 as well.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, I feel like sometimes guys are just maybe, you know, it's the playoffs. Everyone's willing to block shots, but I think it just grabs people's attention. And you'd think, well, you'd have that already in a playoff series, but you just never know. I mean, when you're talking about human nature and you're talking about playing at the absolute highest level, as much as you would think, hey, it's the NHL and it's the playoffs, why wouldn't you already be this dialed in? while all of a sudden something happens that makes it even more emotional or makes you more focused or whatever it may be, and it, you can find a level maybe you didn't know was in you. And I do think the guys did a great job of blocking shots. The guys did a great job. It wasn't a ton of work I had that night in game five, but it's ultimately we didn't come out on the right end of it. But, you know, I do think that teams can play differently in front of different goalies. You try not to. You try to really stick to your identity as a team. But it's kind of like there's strengths and weaknesses and different aspects to every player. And you might play differently on the power play depending on who's in the lineup and who's on the power play because of that. And it's similarly from the defensive side of things as well with your goalie. And so that's a reality, and that's something that could happen. But I do think it is really important that the Canucks just focus on their team game, their defensive game, you know, and playing with that energy and physicality that, you know, they've brought in game one. And I'll think back, and I would look ahead to tonight and just think the energy in the building in game one was off the charts. I wasn't there. I was watching on TV, and I've experienced that building and that, you know, early in a playoff series, all those sorts of things. And by all accounts, it's one of the best atmospheres ever in that building. So you think, okay, it's on this whole nother level. The biggest thing, again, is to not get too excited and try to do too much. You see it all the time with the skaters where maybe they're, you know, some of the comments after game one and Rick Tocchet was kind of like, hey, we got to not do this. Where guys are like, there doesn't even matter. There was a puck at the start. Everyone's just running around trying to get hits. A goalie can't get that energy out, right? A goalie can't get that emotion out by laying a couple big hits or getting hit to get them into the game. They actually have to go the opposite. They have to kind of rein it in and have that control over their emotions and real discipline and that energy. And that is a real challenge when you're amped up, because game one, DeSmith was sort of free to just get caught up in that atmosphere, right? And caught up in that energy. And he doesn't have that tonight. He has to really rein it in and bring that control over those emotions.
I was going to ask you about that because, yeah, that was a home game, right? And so I imagine you felt the support and the vibe as well, but as much as you want to channel that out because you got a job to do for 60 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think once the game starts, you're pretty focused. And
yeah.
It's another game, and I don't want to say it. Like, I mean, I watch. It's funny I say that. It's just another game. I don't know if you watched the pregame of Gene Principe interviewing Connor McDavid last night, and he was just like almost like too nonchalant about it just being another game. Like he was kind of playing it off, like being pretty cool about it. But it's
easier to do when you're Connor, though, I imagine.
Yeah, well, I guess. Yeah, sure. But it's one of those things where it's like, once the game does start, it does very much feel like that you're caught up in that. You're through sort of all your pregame routine and you've channeled that energy, and now you're like using that energy to play, right? But I found that going into the game, the pregame, the lead up, that's where you're like, wow, here I am. I'm standing out, whatever. The whole crowd singing the anthem, the towels are going, this energy, U2's blasting, which I was pumped to hear, by the way. That was awesome. You know, all of these things, it's like you can get carried away in that, but you've just got to sort of stay within it and stay within yourself and not get lost in that moment, which sucks, you know, because one of the things I always think looking back, I'm like, man, I wish I could have enjoyed these things a little better as a player. Maybe there's another way to handle it, but I always thought I had to sort of suppress it and sort of, you know, not get carried away in it. But then I look back and I'm like, wow, that would have been really enjoyable to maybe soak in a little more. So that's what I'm hoping to do tonight when I'm up in the alumni box watching with some of the boys.
I'm starting the campaign, first or second intermission, you on the siren. Let's go. You can crank that and feel the vibe in person.
No, I'm good. I don't want to. I might pull something and then someone else might have to do it. No, I'm all good with that, out of the limelight, but I'm looking forward to enjoying the game tonight for sure.
Hey, man, you're the best. We appreciate it.
Hey, cheers, anytime. Thanks, Vic.
It's Alex Hull joining us here on The People's Show. All right, we are late. We got to run. Fantastic show. Yannick and Alex Hull joining us here. Setting you up for game two setting you up the rest of the way will be Satyar Shah, Dan Riccio, Canucks Central, Landon Ferraro will join them, also Irfan Ghaffar. They are at Rogers Arena. Go check them out by the team store when you enter into the building. It's opening up at 5:30 today, a bit earlier, so you can get the vibes and get into the arena. Game 2 tonight on Sportsnet 650. See you then.